in the book of Acts, the third chapter, verses 1, or chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. It reads like this. If you have your Bible, you can look there. If you don't, you can look on the screen. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, about 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. When he was put where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him and said, and as did John, then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his full attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. It all started because Peter and John were committed to prayer. They were committed to prayer. Now, this always makes me wonder, in this age, in this school of thought, why are they still continuing to observe Old Testament structure? If the Spirit of God was loose to all men and they had that message, if you no longer had to go to the innermost part of the temple to experience God, why are they still going to the temple to pray? Well, we know it's because of us. They knew there was encouragement and strength and opportunity not just to grow, but to grow others as you go, as you assemble, as you meet together. So prayer, they were committed to prayer, and it took them back to the temple, again, where they met this guy. This guy, could you imagine how many times? I mean, it was their tradition, it was their structure, it was what they were doing. They went to the temple to pray. How many times would they have seen this man? Now, obviously, it's a fictitious picture. They didn't actually have a, you know, selfie stick back then for, they didn't have that. How many times would Peter and John have seen this man asking money? I even asked myself how many times, because it was the culture of that day, to give to them. Now, this wasn't the temple tax or the tithe. This was an offering that was over and above. And so I'm thinking that Peter and John probably knew this man. And so when they stopped and said, "Look at me, look at us," he probably went, "Hey, they're givers. They're givers." I can picture in my mind somebody that sits along the interstate at one of the exits, and they're there all the time, and maybe there's a person that stops there regularly and hands a buck or two out the window. And so when they see that car coming, that car gets their attention because they're going to stop. My daughter, who lives in California, just lives a block away from an underpass, and it's very populated with homeless. And so every morning, she doesn't live there now, but every morning when she did live there, there was the regulars that were there asking for money. And so she bought Dixie cups with lids, hot cups, and she would make extra coffee in the morning, and she would befriend some of these folks, and she would stop. And so when she'd pull over, it was a funny thing. She said, "You don't even have to fight the crowd. When I pull over in the morning, they already know who I'm handing the coffee to." She built a relationship with them, and they knew that. So when she was driving up the road, here comes Heather, and they may or may not have known her name. They went over to the curb. She rolled down her window, handed them a coffee, maybe a buck or two, and said, "Have a good day. God bless you." And she went on her way. Here was a man expecting people to just give him money. Never in his wildest dreams did he expect anything else. That was his expectation. Give me money. It wasn't even work for food, or it wasn't even just, "I'm hungry, give me food." It was, "Give me money. Remember what I ask you for? $1 million. Now you go back several thousand years, what does that translate with inflation? Probably not $1 million, but it would have been a significant amount of money. When I ask you for $1 million, it's because this side of heaven, in the physical realm that we live, money has value. I can buy stuff with that. I can save that. I can put that away for later. I could put it in the offering. I could go buy a new truck. I could go buy a lot of stuff. Why? Because this side of heaven, where my brain resides, is very physical. And money is that tangible thing that we can use to get those things that may bring pleasure to us this side of heaven. He was asking for money. Now, they looked at him. Look at us. And he supposed he was going to get something. He supposed the cash was going to just get rolled out. If you ever watched the movie Yes Man, you know, can I have all of it? Not just a few bucks. And as he opened up that whole wad of money, can I have all of it? He had to say yes, give it all. And Peter and John looked at this man and said, silver and gold we don't have. Now, I found this extremely interesting because it's almost controversial to some theology that's in our world today, where people are saying, sell all your possessions, give all of your money to those in need. That's just verses before this. And yet when Peter and John go to the temple and he asks for money, they say, we don't have silver and gold. It's almost like, wait a minute, a few verses ago, all the church was selling their possessions and their goods and making money so they could meet the needs of the poor. And now you're saying you don't have any money. God knows what we need. God knew on that day they didn't need money. Peter and John knew, hey, we can't give what we don't have. I had a man come to my house one time when I lived in Ohio. Gave me this big, long sob story about how his car broke down. I said, well, I'm pretty handy with automobiles. Let's go down and see if I can fix it. Oh, no, 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 no. If you could just take me home. I just need a ride home. So I went in the house. I said, just before I go, I'm going to just let me empty my wallet except for $2. So this guy's giving me all these directions and how to get him to where he said he lived. And I went down in this back cul-de-sac down in the bottom of these high-rise apartment buildings where all of these cars were parked. And as I got down to the bottom, there is a gang sitting across the back end of the parking lot. He says, stop here, stop here. Now I'm in my old beat-up Ford pickup truck. It's a hoopy, no muffler. It's, you know, just the fenders rattling. And I bought it specifically so I could be in the inner city. Never have to worry about it being stolen because no one would want it. And so I'm sitting down there. That thing's idling. My fenders are flopping. And he's going, no, you don't want to go down there. You do not want to go down there. He said, but I need to get out here. Do you have any money? And I pulled out my wallet. And I said, I have $2. Well, then get out of here. You can't stay here if you only have $2. And he didn't want out of my truck at that point. He wanted to ride out of there with me. What he needed was not what he was asking for. He needed deliverance of some kind. He needed payoff of some kind. He needed drug of some sort. He needed something that went beyond the cash that he was asking me for. Now, every day this man was sitting at the gate. Oops. Peter and John come. This past week, I had the privilege of being in a house, and right above their kitchen table, right in their kitchen. It says this: in the morning, it was much prettier than this picture, by the way. It was like a barn siding picture. In the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus. Peter and John knew that it wasn't cash that this man needed that would change his life forever, eternally. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. That's where my heart is for this area, for Seattle. That's what God is bending me around right now. And I don't know how that looks or why or what it will end up being, but I know this. God is breaking my heart because we have not effectively given Jesus to all those that need it. How do we do it? I don't know. I don't know. Is it money? Probably not. How do we do it? Maybe again today you answered that question. When we give them Jesus, this is what they get. Jesus gives strength and courage not only to run, but to finish the race. Consider the endurance of Jesus. If you gave me $1 million today, and I would probably save some. But the portion of it that I would spend, I'd probably go through it pretty quick. You'd do the same thing. If you got a big chunk of change, you'd probably do the exact same thing. You'd probably run through it pretty quick. So in the long run, what we're asking for that $1 million for in the long run probably won't be lasting joy. Every time I see one of these new Camaros go down the road, drool starts running down the sides of my cheeks. And they came out with a new Camaro this year. It's called a Fireball 900. It is a stock Camaro from the factory pushing 900 horsepower. Oh, 90 grand, but oh. Then I'm reminded of Scripture. It might make me happy today and tomorrow and maybe for a few days. But it'll get old and it'll get tired and it'll get rust on it, it'll get dents on it, it'll be parked in a parking lot and somebody will hit it with their door 4 or 5 times before they can get out of their car. It'll get scraped, it'll get scratched, something's going to fall on it, and then my treasure really won't be what I want anymore. I'll want the Fireball Extreme 1000, or you understand? The things that we want here are short-lived. But Jesus is eternal. That's what I think Maple Leaf needs. That's what you should have saw down at Memory Care on Friday. We took some of our school students. We took first through fourth grade. Just looking at the principal, Megan's door, first through fourth grade, and they sang and they did some poems. And we had a brand new gentleman there that had just moved in. He said to the lady that helps us down there, "I am 90 years old today, and I was a public school music teacher." You cannot believe what this day did for me. Jesus. It wasn't, I mean, although they were extremely well-behaved, and, I mean, there was, like, no issues this time. Like, what? You know, they're starting to get a hang of it. They're starting to get a grip on what the expectations are. This man saw Jesus in our students. Giving Jesus is an eternal gift that goes on and on and on and on. The more you trust Jesus and keep your eyes focused on Him, the more life you'll have. Trusting God brings life. Believing brings rest. So stop trying to figure out everything and let God be God in your life. This very day, as I expressed a little tiny bit of frustration, I got this counsel. Don't you believe Him? Don't you believe? Thanks for that. Again, a confirmation. Don't you believe that God? I'm waking up nervous every morning. And I'm not saying that I want that nervous. I don't want that ball of expectation that I'm waking up with. I don't want that to go away. But maybe it will foster that expectation for me to be on my knees to continue to say, God, how can I give Jesus? How can I give Jesus? My challenge to you today is this. If you need it, get it. If you're here today and you don't know what I'm talking about, you don't know what Jesus can do for your life. You know, you've heard stories about him. You've heard people talk about living for him their whole life. You've heard people talk about miracles. But if you have never experienced Jesus, if you have never been at a place in your life where maybe you're like me, just like it's chaos and I know something's going on. I know something's stirring. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to handle it. I don't even know how to deal with it. All I know is to lay it before the cross and keep praying through. If you need it today, get it. If you need it today, get it. I remember a man who came into my office and he gave me his story and said, okay, now let's get to the formalities. I said, what's the formality? He says, well, I told you where I'm at. I told you my life's a mess and it's broken. You're going to tell me now I need to accept Jesus, right? And so let's get on. Leave me in that prayer. And I said, no. Can you believe that? I said, no. You want a quick fix. Today, you just want Jesus. You are not at a place where you would acknowledge you need him. It's a scary place to allow yourself to go into that zone where you would absolutely have to acknowledge, I need him. It's scary because we don't control that. We have to completely trust. And I'll be honest, you know nothing about me already to know I don't like that place. I like control. I like to be in control. Today, if you need it, if you need Jesus, if you need the faith that comes with that, get it. It is here for you to ask freely. Bow your head, close your eye, look to heavens, get on your knee, stand and raise your hands, sit there with a blank look on your face. Whatever your external expression is, do this mentally. Cry out from the heart to Jesus. Seek him. Chase after him. And he will find you in that search. I'm beating a dead horse, I know. Today you were giving me some ideas. 100 ideas. If you got it, give it. This is where I think we need to be collectively as the church. If we got it, don't hoard it. If we got it, don't stash it. If we got it, don't hide it away. Don't put our light under a bushel. Don't put it under a bed. If you got it, give it. That's where I am. How do I do that? I want you to join me in asking that same question for yourself. How do I do that? How do I give what God has given me? How do I, and on the back of your bulletin, even though the borders are incorrect, read that article today. Read that article this week. And give what God has given you. At this moment, we're not taking an offering. We already did that. So let me ask you this. Give today, since you're already past the plate, and give today from the spiritual side everything that God has given you. Love, grace, acceptance, forgiveness, compassion. Give. You can never outgive God. Don't test it with your money. Test it with your love. Don't test it with your money. Test it with your love. They will know we are Christians by our love. The ushers are going to come and they're going to collect those papers that you've been filling out during this service time. And if you didn't get it completed, you can hand it to me at the end. But as they come, I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And again, just challenge you to live. Live a scary life with me. Get out on the edge. Do something that God has called you to do. Be what God has called you to be. Don't just sit back and expect, well, whoever I am, God will use me. Chase Him. Chase Him. Acknowledge Him as your hope, your direction, your guide. And He will lead you to places you have never seen before. When I talked about the 50th anniversary of the 1970s movement where the hippies were coming to Jesus, and I don't mean just say hippies. I'm not using that as a negative term. It's just a descriptor of that time. When they started coming to Jesus by the thousands, and I said, I want to be on the front end of that. I want us to be a part of that. Do you realize how limited of a statement I made to us? That's all I can think in my mind, is I want to be there. I want to be a part of something like that. When in reality, God calls us to chase Him into the unknown so that He can do far greater things, better things, bigger things than we could ever think or ask or dream. That's what God has for us at Fairview. Last week, as I walked out the parking lot, as the door closed behind me, one of you said this to me, Fairview is this close. And they meant that in such an extremely positive way, it brought tears to my eyes. When you, when I, when we understand God is ready to move and we embrace that, listen, the gates of hell cannot prevail. Nothing can stand in His way. I'd ask you to stand as we finish this service and continue to commit to hear in 2018. Know the voice of God. Seek it, chase it, hear it, know it.